You're listening to Last Word Radio, where you get your last word.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Running Wild Podcast. I'm your co-host, Rich. Alongside me, as always, my co-host Runs.
The man who is most certainly not soft.
I just want to remind you guys that we're being brought to you in partnership with LastWordOnSports.com as well as Pro Wrestling Ponderings, PWP.com. You can find us yourself on Twitter at RunningWildLWS. You can find you can email us directly at RunningWildPodcast@gmail.com. Take a second, go over to iTunes, look for our feed, and just leave us a comment, rate, subscribe, and review. You can find us anywhere you're looking for podcasts, YouTube, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Google Play Store, and, of course, iTunes. All right. With all that out of the way, we're actually coming to you a day later because we decided that we're going to cover a little bit more, some independent stuff this week. So do you want to start off with that, Jeff?
Yeah, I mean, so I had the privilege, I guess, to watch both Evolve shows. This weekend, about 62 and 63. And, I mean, just really, really good shows. I enjoyed the hell out of the storylines and this whole at war with ex-WWE guys. Seemingly, they added Hero and potentially Cody Rhodes to that group, which, I mean, just makes them like even better. I mean, Hero, I'm kind of sick of. He's really out of shape, and it's kind of like that was his problem in developmental, like that he just could never get in shape. But like, wow, man, like he just let himself go. I think it might be a case of like, hey, I can still do most of what I did even at this weight, so hey, fuck it, why not?
He's got to be a Met fan. He's like watching Bartolo Colon, and he's like, yo, he's got the right idea.
Yeah, this guy's still doing it, so why not?
I mean, like the idea of Cody in there.
Yeah, I mean, it makes a ton of sense, and whether he's actually in there and he's the heel or he ends up, you know, just like going against them or turning on them, either way. But this I just don't know what to make of Cody Rhodes' WWE stuff. I'm just going to enjoy it for what it is, and I'm not going to try and overthink myself into any type of conspiracy theory. But it just seems weird to go right to a WWE-related promotion. And, you know, yes, Evolve is a blossoming promotion, but, like, there's not like a real need to go to Evolve. You know what I mean?
Okay, I'm going to tell you right now. If this is a crazy storyline that WWE came up with,
and it ends, here you go. It ends in Cody Rhodes, EC3, and Drew Galloway coming back.
If that happens.
Perfect.
If that happens, I quit. No, I mean, like, I don't even know what I do. Like, we spend our time talking about this. I can't really believe that it's that deep right now. I can't. Like, I just, I can't see it.
So, like, it doesn't even have to be that deep. It can be legitimate. It can actually be, hey, listen, do you guys have anything for me? If not, then release me. Let me go wrestle on the independents. You know what, Cody? Maybe that's the best thing. And then you come back here in a year or two, and you're an even bigger name, and then we can use you. Like, I can easily see that conversation have happened, you know? Like, if he goes out there and he wrestles, look at the guys he said he wants to wrestle and the guys he's named to wrestle. All prospects for the WWE, yes? All the biggest names on the indies, yes? Like, and now he's going to the Evolve where he's going to be in some type of story with an NXT guy, some Cruiserweight Classic guys, and some ex-WWE awesome released TNA guys. It's fun to dream, but either way, I'm enjoying the hell out of this Evolve stuff.
I see. Now, is he going to Ring of Honor?
I'm not sure he's going to Ring of Honor. He's going to PWG in the Battle of Los Angeles. They announced that. Evolve, he's wrestling Angle. He's wrestling Mike Bennett somewhere.
Like, am I an ROH mark when I say that the streamer's thing is ROH? Is it like, because
yeah, the streamer's thing is definitely ROH. Thing.
So that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, he's got to go at some point, right?
At some point, yeah, definitely he'll. I mean, like, he wants to wrestle Castle, and
so but I mean, Castle wrestles he'll be around. PWG.
Castle does wrestle around, you know? But he'll wrestle.
My God.
I mean, they could imagine, do the streamers at PWG. Yo,
Castle versus Rhodes, Field of Honor.
It's August 27th, so maybe Cody could be at Field of Honor. That would be pretty cool.
Oh, business just picked
we'll
up.
We'll have to check on his booking schedule, but
that is said. By the way,
check. Look it up. Look up if Cody Rhodes has. Look up Cody Rhodes' booking dates right now.
Yeah, that statement though. The statement of,
even if it's not Castle, just Cody Rhodes wrestling would be crazy.
Oh yeah. No, I'm just saying the statement of, look up Cody Rhodes' booking schedule, and not saying that ironically is crazy. Like,
no, I mean, like, you know, he announces his stuff on Twitter and all that stuff, so it's got to be out there. Like,
no,
he'll be here at this date, you know.
It's just, I never thought, like, in
a crazy
life,
thought
that I would like say something like that.
Exactly, and that's my other thing. Like, this Dusty Rhodes, this is Dusty Rhodes' son. Like, he just passed. You really think they're gonna let that legacy walk away forever? There's no way. No way. He'll be back at some point, and he'll be a bigger star, and he'll be better for it, and they'll both be better for it. That's why something in me is like, okay, they're both kind of in on this.
So far, wait a minute. No, there's no chance.
He's wrestling Bennett that day?
He's wrestling Bennett the day before, and he's wrestling Angle that day.
Oh.
Okay. Wait, well, when does it happen? It's the Northeast Wrestling Promotion in New York City.
So you never know.
Imagine that's like he pulls a double show.
Well, that'll probably be the main event, but who knows?
That would be crazy.
Whatever. Like, doesn't hurt to dream. So, back to Evolve for now. So we had on Evolve 62, Anthony Nese lost to Freddie Ahai. And then he was, you know, I want to make something of myself. And I want to make, you know, Anthony Nese mean something, and I'm sorry for being an asshole the last couple of years and all this stuff, and I want to enter the Cruiserweight Classic. So then afterwards, William Regal said if he's in the elimination match tomorrow, but he has to win in order to get in. So, okay, you know, that's fine. We'll see what happens. But Matt Riddle beat Cedric Alexander. Good match. Matt Riddle is really over and enjoyable. Just the fact that he went to a WWE tryout and they said, hey, check out Evolve. I mean, he's on his way to WWE whenever he's ready, you know. So that's just awesome to see this guy and kind of enjoy, because he's only been there a year, and I'm pretty sure I saw one of his first two shows on, you know, iPay-per-view. So, like, it's kind of cool to see, like, oh, this guy was nothing. Now he's pretty good, and he's learned what to do and how to act in the ring, and it's really enjoyable.
Yeah, and he gets immediate heel heat from me for not wearing shoes. Like, it's like if you're not Samoan or something, like, it's not cool to do that. Like, immediately makes me not like you. So he gives off a very douchey vibe.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, I'm not sure if it's, you know, it's probably just the volume turned up, but it's very believable. I immediately didn't like him when he walked out. So but I, you know, he's like, I enjoy watching him because I, it's very rare that I am able to watch someone say that guy's a heel and then dislike them.
Yeah. Like he's talented at being a heel and still dislike mm-hmm. them. Yeah.
You know, like even, I mean, there are things I can like Silas Young, you know, there are things I can find that I like all the time, you know, and
yeah.
But I remember being at the show and being hyped, like, oh, yes, Silas Young threw a streamer at him. He just knocks it out of the air, like, no. And I was like, haha, that's good. Just keeping up that heel persona. But, yeah, Riddle's really great. I can't wait to see him again.
Yeah, I mean, so, like, the whole – so then we had Hero and Thatcher just to keep going with Riddle. So Thatcher doesn't have his belt, and Catchpoint has it, and – the whole story is like, you're not, like, they don't believe he's the true champion until, like, he beats all of them. And so, like, Thatcher's like, okay, cool. You want to keep my belt? Doesn't matter. I'm the champion. And when I beat all of you, then you'll give me my belt and the respect that I deserve. So I kind of like, because he's not, like, being a little baby about it, or he's not being corny. That's not Thatcher anyway, but it's just like, he's like, okay, fine. You want my belt? You want to run around like, you know, whatever you claim to be? Sure. When I beat you, then no problem. You're going to give me it rightfully. So I like that storyline. I enjoy it. You know, him and Riddle had an interaction the next night, and he said, like, he beat Tracy Williams at Evolve 63. And then Riddle came out and he said, like, you know, I have to wrestle TJP, but after that, then I'm coming for you. No holds barred. So that'll be a pretty crazy match for the title. And I don't know, maybe Riddle will win, or Thatcher will just get his belt back.
It's a pretty cool storyline. Usually it's like you hear that the champion, you know, someone takes the champion's belt and then he's really upset about it. And then, you know, he looks kind of weak from it. And it's kind of like that same, it almost always follows that same exact storyline, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. He gets it back the next night or whatever the case.
You know, this deviation I think is really good. And I still think that it should end in some sort of ladder match though. Like when it finally gets to the end, like, you know,
like Thatcher's. Nah, like they're
not
like
gonna do that.
Point and Thatcher are just like wrestling, you know.
Okay, so they're not gonna do that. Okay,
so they'll do something where it's well earned and it's a war, but you know, no ladder gimmick.
All right, fair. Get resolved? Or is that's not going to be resolved by the show we go to next
month? I wish, right? But no. That the July show that we go to is Timothy Thatcher versus Marty Scurll for the belt.
Oh man.
Yeah, I mean, you know, kind of sucks that Scurll probably will not win, but it will still be.
I just want to watch him again. He's just ridiculous.
Yeah, I really enjoy Marty Scurll, so it's perfectly fun. Then we had the two matches, really why I bought the show. Well, okay, so first off, we had the Bravados against Gulak and Williams. Mm-hmm. Really, really good tag team match. Like, lasted forever. Really great, just psychology, cutting off the ring, keeping them isolated. Good, really, really good stuff.
Would you say it was better than the NXT tag match?
Well, the NXT tag match was more high-paced, so it's hard to...
Okay.
Even though the Revival is so good at cutting off the ring,
mm-hmm.
it just, I don't know, like the pacing is a lot different. And it was a lot shorter. Well, not a lot shorter, but it was definitely shorter than the Bravados. But definitely good, really enjoyable. So Williams and Gulak picked up the win. Good stuff. But then we had Galloway and EC3 against Gargano and TJP. In the unsanctioned street fight. So, like, EC3 is just the greatest. But he comes out, right, and, like, they're, like, they have the ref, and he's like, wait a minute, this is unsanctioned, right? And he just punches the ref in the face. Like, you know. So, literally, they fought on the street. Like, there were cars coming. There were people walking down the street, and, like, they were fighting. Like, there was a guy pushing a cart with his dog in it. And he was just like, what, like, is this real? Like, what the hell is going on? Like, it was really, really cool. Like, they weren't, like, they had to look for the cars, see if cars were coming, fighting in the street. Like, so it's just like, okay, guys, yeah, this is kind of crazy. But so then, whatever, they eventually make their way back in. And Galloway, I believe Galloway and EC3 picked up the win.
What? I would love to hear that story from my grandmother.
Yeah, like from that guy, right? Like, oh my God, I was walking down the street and these guys were just fighting.
But like, I want to, yeah, because I need to hear it from somebody who's not going to know it's wrestling. Like, your parents would smarten up enough to be like, oh, that this must be a wrestling thing, you know?
Yeah, well, yeah, guys in their underwear.
Like, my grandmother might be like, Richie, and then these two men in their underwears were fighting in the street in front of me, and people were taping it. Like, I want to hear it kayfabe, like, because that's got to be, like, if you don't know what's happening, that's the craziest thing you've seen, like, the whole year. The entire year.
That is where Hero came out, and Hero helped. He had pile drivers on TJP and Gargano, and that's how they won. And then, so EC3 like got on the mic after, right, and he cut a promo, and then he was like, "All right, ready for like the pipe bomb?" And he goes, "TNA Slammiversary," and like they're like, "Cut the mics, cut the mics!" Yeah. And like, so that was funny, and just like good stuff, and like the show just ended right there.
Oh, really?
So, right there. So, you know, that brings us to the next night. Alexander and Yehi had a good match. Alexander got the win. I mean, pretty obvious after he lost his Evolve debut the night before, he wasn't going to lose again. So, whatever.
So, Yehi's like more mid-card? Like, is he like openers a lot most of the time?
He's literally opened every match of Evolve that I've seen him at. So.
Okay.
I think he's just that kind of a guy. Riddle beat Trevor Lee. Trevor Lee from TNA. I'm not sure if you're familiar with him. He's pretty good.
I think I've seen a picture of him recently because I'm trying to look it up.
Long hair, beard. He's like kind of crazy looking. He's really good. Good hire by TNA and definitely a good hand there. Thatcher beat Tracy Williams. Really good match. This is where I talked about what's his name? Matt Riddle coming out. So then we had the Cruiserweight Classic qualifier, whatever you want to call it, Flashpoint. Nice, Gargano, Gulak, TJP, and Lince Dorado. So, I mean, me and you talked about it, and me and our friend EJ talked about it. Like, really cool that we saw Nice and Dorado at FSW, and we just saw, you know, yes, at Evolve, but we just saw TJP and Gulak and those guys. And now you have the WWE logo on the screen and the Cruiserweight class. So really, really kind of cool, you know, to see.
I mean, it's super exciting to just – it's like being able to say that, like, you know, you saw Metallica in a club in L.A. in, like, 1979 before, you know.
I mean, but it's like, two weeks before it started, but – and they were already stars. But anyway, I get what you're saying.
TNA.
You saw them in a nowhere arena, and now they're going to a WWE event.
Yeah, when you see someone at American Legion or a high school gym, like, it, I think, you know, it's kind of that extra thing. Yeah,
it's definitely like a nice come-up story, you know.
Because you got to think about this. Us going to see Evolve and Ring of Honor shows to people who just watch WWE is like we're going to back rooms.
Yeah.
Because, like, we're not going to, like, the Garden. Like, oh, people go to watch wrestling, not in the Garden, you know, like.
Yeah, like, what? Oh, WWE? Like, no, this other company.
Or these people, a.k.a. me 10 years ago or something, but whatever.
Yeah. So, I mean, really, really good match, you know. Too much to even, like, discuss the moves. Just really good. But it was elimination, so that was pretty exciting. Gargano got eliminated pretty early. And as soon as he got eliminated, I was like, oh, well, EC3 has that open challenge. And then EC3 attacked him on his way to the back. So I was like, okay, you know, that makes perfect sense. We'll get that match later on. Then we had Dorado got eliminated, then Gulak got eliminated, and so it came down to Nice and TJP. And here I was like, oh, maybe they're going to have TJP win, and like Nice came so close, and they're just going to do that kind of a storyline. But no. Good, you know, good finish. He hit the spike pile driver, 450. Good stuff. You know, so he gets the win. He gets into the Cruiserweight Classic, and good for him. Just another good name in the tournament.
I mean, this is so crazy that we've seen so many of these dudes before this thing goes off.
Yeah, I think there's 32. Like, I can't wait to see the finalized list so we can really count, because it's probably at least half.
Right?
You know, like,
because you Sabre Jr.
Sabre Jr., maybe Skrull, Gargano, Ciampa, we've seen in ROH. I think he's in it. All of these guys from Evolve we've seen, you know. So it'll definitely be interesting. Really good stuff. I'm looking forward to it. You know, like, I watched a couple of the qualifier matches from, like, people that I didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, wow. Wow. Oh, that's a pretty cool move. Oh, okay. So they're definitely the right thing. Yeah, like, you know, guys in Ireland that I would have no idea. Oh, really good stuff. So really looking forward to it. So then we had Galloway and Ethan Page. Anything goes. Good match. Galloway ended up getting the win. And him and EC3 start cutting a promo. EC3 says, well, since no one is left for my open challenge, can't have it. Thanks a lot, guys. Have a good night. Cut the feed. Johnny Gargano's music hits. He comes out and he challenges EC3 to a last man standing match. Much to my pleasure, because what a better way to finish two good nights of wrestling than Gargano EC3 last man standing. I mean, come on. Thank you, guys. Really, really just thank you. Awesome match. A lot of run-ins towards the end. Gulak, TJP, the referee that stood up to EC3 at the show that we went to.
Yeah.
Him and TJP, like, surrounded EC3. They all hit, like, a move. The referee hit a Stone Cold Stunner. And then, unfortunately, they tried to put him through a table, and the table did not break. And that was the end of the match. They really should, like... So EC3 had a ring crew guy come and take off the top rope. He was like, all right, dismantle the ring. You know, that's it. There's no top rope. So he's on the apron, and Gargano, like, drive-by kicks him.
Yeah.
And he falls onto the table, and the table just kind of bends. And, like, he could have probably stayed there, and I was like, yo, just stay there. Let him do an elbow drop. Let him do something off the apron. Like, just stay. And he rolled off, and that was it. 10 count, and I was like,
oh fuck.
Yeah, come on, table. You ruined it. You ruined everything. Somebody should have done something. But, okay, whatever. So, you know, I won't nitpick that, because really, hell of a two shows. Good weekend for Evolve. And I'm really even more excited to go to the next shows. And, you know, our friend EJ, who is a casual fan, is really enjoying the hell out of Evolve. And I think that says something about their production and their product, because it's not that easy for a wrestling fan who only watches WWE to go to independent shows and be like, oh shit, this is pretty cool.
Now that we've gone to what? So you've been to TNA, we've been to Ring of Honor, and then we've been to these, like, little independents, you know? And
FSW, Wrestle Pro,
Five Pro Wrestling. I think that's it.
I went to a show on my high school graduation day in New Jersey, featuring Christian versus AJ Styles.
That's right. Yeah. So, what else?
Pretty much.
And I've been to WWE in a tent. All the major companies. In a tent. Outside of Massachusetts, like Lowell, I went to. It was literally a tent of 15 rows going down. Jeez. Like, it was weird. It was like a circus thing.
All major promotions.
Evolve's up there. Like,
the Evolve production value is or was is like better than Ring of Honor was 5 years ago, or yeah. like right before Sinclair. You know, like
mm-hmm.
it's right on that level, and it makes sense because it's Gabe Sapolsky and you know a bunch of that same circle. But still, it is maybe it's WWE's backing, or maybe WWE is saying, "Hey, if we're gonna have guys on here looking like stars and that we need to use, we're gonna give you a better camera, or we're gonna help you with your lighting." Yeah. You know, so makes perfect sense and good for both of them.
It just makes it, you know. What, we're sitting front row, right?
At Evolve, yes.
Yeah. I mean, that's... It feels like I'm sitting front row of Ring of Honor.
Yeah, it really feels, like, really cool.
No, like, this is a big deal. Like, it's not like just this little show that's easy to get front row tickets to. Like, I feel like I'm going to a major event. So, you know, kudos to them for building that. I mean, and this is... I barely pay attention to Evolve, you know, like.
And that's what I was just going to say. Like, yes, we went to one show, right? But, and I watched the last couple. But, like, I just feel invested in almost everyone. Like, everyone. Like, from Yehi to the main event, I'm enjoying one or both of the wrestlers. Mm-hmm. They're putting on good matches. They're doing good things in the ring, storytelling-wise. So, like, they do a really good job of that. Like, you know, when the first time I said that it felt like the most real wrestling event that I'd ever been to, and I don't think that's really changed in continuing to watch it. Like, they just do a good job of one guy versus another. I don't like you, or we have this going on. No gimmicky stuff, and that helps, you know. And that's, you know, what I really think it is Sapolsky. And he's why we enjoyed Ring of Honor, you know, because yeah. this is what they did. So this is like a new Ring of Honor, and maybe that's what Triple H sees too, and maybe that's why he's helping it.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that makes a lot of sense.
I just thought of it, so yeah.
Yeah, no, they're definitely like Ring of Honor 5 years ago. It's exciting to watch. I'm having a good time. I can't wait to go to the event, and then I think I'm going to start getting some. I can only describe what's happening with my wrestling money as I can only compare it to beer. It's like WWE is Budweiser. Like, you can go to the corner and it's pretty affordable for a six pack. Right? Now, I feel like these other ones.
That's no.
Here.
WWE is like the high end.
No. Listen, here's what it is. Well,
but they're not affordable. That's where you lose me. But go ahead. Well, continue with your analogy. I'm sorry.
Because what I think is WWE is like Budweiser. Like, it's cheaper. It's easier to find everywhere, right? And you know that it's going to be consistent, right? Wherever you get it. Where these other companies are like the high, like, you know, the IPAs and the microbreweries, where, you know, you're not, do I want to spend the extra money because I could just get the Budweiser and it's cheaper and it's right here and I know it. That's kind of where I feel like I am right now.
In terms of pay-per-view, I get you, yeah.
You know, like, when WWE Network came out, StatWife could not have been more excited. Because it meant no more $45 month added to the absurd cable bill as it is. So that's why I have a bone, and I understand these companies need to make money. I do. Well, I do.
But let's also put out there that Evolve is 15, not 40.
Yeah.
Like TNA's pay-per-view tonight is $40 on the Fight TV app, so I don't know if it's any more on pay-per-view or... But wow, $40, sheesh.
Does anybody pay? I mean, I guess people will do that, right? But
I couldn't even. Can you like write it off? Since like you write for wrestling, can you?
I
buy a pay per view and like, hey, this is the work. I'm serious.
I mean, honestly, like, I think that it could be a possibility. How you know? I am deeply invested in, at least very much what tax-wise, if I remember reading everything correctly, is kind of like a hobby, that I'm putting time and effort into. So,
oh, okay. So you have to get paid first.
Yeah, I'm not getting paid yet. So,
I got you.
Yeah, but one day I would love to think that TNA could be a write-off. I mean, an option. I won't do it, but it'll, you know, like,
could you hope one day that TNA could be written off?
Yeah, please.
In more ways than one.
They need a new name. Like, even if their name is not TNA, I think it would be better. Like, this is not, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to not TNA. Woo! Just like so many more fans.
Yeah, they definitely need a new owner and just shake it up a little bit, give it a new name, put some new faces at the top, and just go from there.
This Matt Hardy stuff is...
I really like this stuff, the Matt Hardy, Jeff Hardy stuff.
Really?
You know, I mean, Matt Hardy has been awesome. I've really enjoyed Matt Hardy, and I enjoy him going crazy, and those vignettes have been really good. I told you yesterday, there are, like, if there was more than these two matches, I would buy the show. But I kind of care about the Hardys TLC. I think that should be pretty fun. And I really like Bennett and EC3. But nothing else on this show. Like, there's two women's matches that I don't care about. There's a tag team match that I don't care about. The X Division match, I kind of like. Eddie Edwards, a couple other guys. So that should be fun. But Drew Galloway and Lashley, I really don't like Lashley. Really don't like the knockout, no, you know, knockout finish.
Yeah, I don't like Bobby Lashley, but that's, I think I've talked about that for hours on end.
Look, so am I supposed to think that somehow, well, I guess he could cheat because it's wrestling, but like, is Galloway going to beat Lashley in an MMA fight when Lashley is an actual professional MMA fighter? Like, that's kind of crazy.
Well, I mean, that's eventually what might happen with Brock, right? Or, like, that's kind of what the whole thing has been the whole time with him.
No. This match between Lashley and Galloway is only knockout or submission. It's an MMA.
Oh.
So, like, you know.
Okay. Yes. So it's not like you're in my domain now. It's more
Yes. It's not Brock wrestling a match. It's kind of MMA rules. So I don't know if Galloway can hit a DDT. Like, I guess that's legal. I don't know. But, you know, it'll be interesting because Lashley is, like I said, a professional, somewhat, I guess, professional MMA fighter.
Hey, guys. Wow, so it's a lot of – is there any other companies to talk about this week? Do we have
– Yeah, I mean, WWE's got some interesting things going on.
Double F?
Money in the Bank is next week, which is kind of wow. But, wow. I mean, what a show this is planning out to be.
Well, I mean, I didn't. So, is there a seventh man in the ladder match? What's going on here?
I don't know. Are we going to get someone added, or is there just
Randy Orton?
Be one. Could be Orton. Like, I don't think they throw Balor in there just to let him lose or anything like that. So,
no, it shouldn't be him.
I don't know. You know, they've just been keeping it with the six. They haven't really been showing that Money in the Bank logo with, you know, that missing person in it. So I don't know if they just decided to do away with it or if they're waiting for a reveal on Monday. I guess we'll find out soon enough.
Yeah, I mean, I guess they wouldn't have an extra ladder for somebody who wasn't there, but opening where they were all sitting on the ladders, which was just weird, but whatever. There were only six ladders there, so.
Well, yeah. I mean, they tried with that one. There were a couple good. Ambrose was pretty funny with the, all right, can we just fight? You know, Owens, of course, was good, just throwing jabs at Zayn the whole time.
What a dick. It's just so annoying. Like,
you know, I respect all you guys except for you, Sammy. Like, you know, just all those little things.
I have a coworker who's we're cool. Like, we teach together, you know? And every once in a while, like, somebody will be like, you know, thank you for everyone's help during this event, you know? And then he'll reply, he'll be like, yeah, yeah, that was, the event was fantastic. You guys all did a great job of pitching in to make this, you know, work, except for Laconi.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you know, it's like, he's my Kevin Owens.
Yep.
You know, like where I actually like him, but I'm like, God damn it, he got me again. Like, I'll just be at home and I'll read the email. I'm like, he got me again. So it's, and that's kind of what it's like when Owens does that. Like, I'm like, okay, I mean, a good start. I'm like, why'd you gotta go and do that? Like, I'm like,
yep, no, why? Why do you have to ruin it?
Exactly.
Yep. I mean, that's pretty much the story of your life.
But, oh.
You know, that's okay. But yeah, I mean, either way, whether they add someone or not, that match is going to be ridiculous. There, what's the other match? Oh, Styles and Cena. I mean, what else is there really to say?
Styles has to see. Well, we'll talk about that next week. But
here's my question: why are they doing this now?
I don't understand.
Like, immediately when Cena comes back, you throw him right in with Styles?
I'm not thinking deeply about this one, so you're going to have to fill in the blanks.
Like, before SummerSlam?
Oh. Like, because
reason I think that there is the brand split, and I think they're going to be on different shows. So I think they're going to do this now and then keep them apart so that I think they would have lost the opportunity if they waited another month.
Huh. So, like, what do you think? Like, AJ goes to SmackDown, Cena's on Raw.
Well, like, yeah, like they're Money in the Bank is as good as WrestleMania and all that.
Yeah,
and I think it's because they have to have all of these matches now because some of these guys may not be on the same show.
Do you think they know where people are going to be already?
Some people, I think, yes. I think the main guys, they have to know.
See, there's a part of me that feels like they don't know yet. Like
it's a month away.
Exactly, but I feel like to avoid any kind of crazy leaks, you know, that are accurate, I feel like they're gonna do it at the last minute.
Nobody other than Triple H, Vince, and Stephanie, like nobody other than the family knows. Writers and like, okay, anyone leaks it, you're dead. You know, so
you are fired.
It's one of us five people, so the four family members are not going to leak anything. So if it comes from either of you two, then you're done. So you know, there's ways around that, and I think they have to know we're going to put Styles on SmackDown, we're going to have Cena on Raw, we're going to have this guy here. The top 10 guys, they have to know because they have to have some type of plan ready for a month. You know. As soon as Money in the Bank is over, you're building to the draft and everything else.
Do you think they fulfill my dream, or my dream comes true, and they actually do one of those a draft board special?
I really hope so. I love when they do the actual draft, when the guy comes out and makes a pick, or somebody wins a match and it's just random. I love that. So I really, really hope they do that and they don't just do some, hey, here are our draft from earlier today. Why not put on the network a 3-hour special? I'd watch every minute of it. Corey Graves. What a great pick that was for SmackDown. Oh, wait a minute, Corey Graves. You just got picked to SmackDown. Yeah, I'm going to be the lead announcer. Like, you know, it's perfect. I would watch the hell out of that.
Okay, I'm going to say it again because I've said it before. I just want to make sure that the companies are listening. ESPN, WWE, you have a spot every Tuesday, okay? Right before the draft, you need one person and one person only for like 5 minutes. Mel Kiper Jr., please, please.
No.
Dude, they already are on the channel. They're on the network on Tuesday
night. We discussed this before. It's Rosenberg and it's Coach. It's not Kiper and Machete. It's those two. I don't care that those two are legitimate NFL guys. I want to hear legitimate wrestling guys.
But I'm talking like I think that Coach and Rosenberg could legitimately be the ones on the network. But I think ESPN's going to do a funny thing where they're going to be like, all right, well, here's Mel Kiper Jr. I'm telling you, it's going to happen. Mark, guys, if you're not thinking about it, do it. Don't give me credit. I don't want any money. Just I need to see his funny hair sitting there and talking seriously about wrestling. Because I want to hear what he would say, even if someone else writes it. I just need to hear it in his voice. Oh, it would make – I can't. I'm so
I get what you're saying. The comedic value, I'm there. But the serious value, I want a Rosenberg coach. But anyway, yes, I would definitely watch a WWE here, draft on the network. What?
See, I think we have a split right here because I would rather have Shoemaker
and Rosenberg. Forget it. All right. That's fine.
You know, like
that's it. Just back together. One can represent SmackDown. One can represent Raw. And just
if I have to pick one, though, I'm not gonna lie to you. I would go
Rosenberg.
No, see, we're split. I would do Shoemaker. That sounded weird.
I haven't listened to any of Shoemaker's.
What?
I've just like
I listened to it first slacking. Now.
Yeah, see, I listen to TP because Rosenberg is entertaining, but that's. Like the wrestling talk has been bad since Shoemaker left, but the guests that Shoemaker's had on I haven't been thrilled with. So it's kind of
yeah, but I like hear up and down. I like to hear him talk about wrestling. So for me, it's just like
yeah, he's more knowledgeable, like or he watches it more. You know.
All right. So what else?
So Styles and Cena, Rollins and Reigns. The four-way tag team match that they made, which great, I enjoy that. We don't need the Club and New Day to have that singles match yet. That's fine. Someone else can lose. We can get going.
Have you seen Golden Truth's shirt? Speaking of tag teams,
no, I haven't.
Yo, it's an oil painting of like Goldust standing behind like a sitting like R-Truth. Like they posed for an oil painting, bro. It is. It's got like a gold like trim on it and everything. I'm liking these. This match is going to be good. All the teams that are in that match deserve to be there. I personally like this. I'm really starting to like this lower tag team division of Golden Truth. Whatever, Fandang, Breeze.
It's Step Brothers.
What? Oh, yes. That's what it is.
Yeah. Oh, that's great.
And then, I like the Shining Stars. I want to go to Puerto Rico now.
Ugh.
You don't – come on. They're good at what they're doing.
Right. Absolutely terrible.
The Shining Star. Look at this. This is the hibiscus.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Oh, what I did enjoy watching this week was the second season of Swerved.
They put it up all at once, right?
All at once, 9 episodes, so you could really just run through them. There's a, you know, like this year they're not pranking each other for the most part. They're pranking like other people and kids. So some of it is really funny. Like there are a couple ones, like one, like AJ Styles makes a sign with a kid about Ryback, and then Ryback comes in and he's like, "Oh, you want to make a sign?" Then he finds the Ryback sign and he's like, "Oh, why would you do that?" And he makes one about AJ and like, then they're both in there, like, "Why'd you tell him to make that?" And the kid's like, I'm sorry. Like, he's shook.
Wow.
So, like, there are some good stuff. R-Truth is a small security guard. And he makes a guy take off his shoes and he smells them. And he's like, "Ooh, yeah, these more than 3 weeks. God damn. He gets some odor eaters." And then he, like, gives him, like, a real, like, embracing hug. R-Truth. He kills it. Like, there's one girl with, like, shorts, right? And they're like, "Yo, tell her to pull her shorts down." He, like, laughs, and he's like, I don't want to." Like, yo, he kills it, man. Like, he is amazing. So it's worth it for a couple of really good stuff there. There's some really good segments, some pretty bad ones, but for the most part, it's pretty funny.
They've paused releasing Camp WWE, right?
Yeah, they had the five episodes, they released it, and then now we're just waiting, I guess.
Is there a new Breaking Ground that I see?
There's Breaking Ground Reloaded. It's just the 1 hour, like, "Oh, here is what happened to all the guys from Breaking Ground."
Oh, okay. I thought it was like new season of it or something.
No, not that I know of. I think it was just, unless that was just like the one episode, but I don't think so, because it was like, "Oh, all these guys are on the main roster and these people are watching the show and all that kind of stuff.
So I guess we
like it was pretty cool. Like on Reloaded, they showed Sami Zayn, and like right before he went out to face Nakamura, Triple H said, like, finish this shit how you started it. And like he didn't know he was getting called up. And he said, he was like, wait a minute, like, finish this how, what? Oh, and like, you know, he's like, oh, okay. And like, you know, then they went out there and killed it, whatever. And then now he got called up. But, you know, it was pretty cool to watch, like, Enzo and Cass get the news and Apollo Crews and all that kind of stuff.
Huh. I got to take a look at that then.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely worth a look.
Speaking of things that were tough to look at, actually. Teddy Long, I
blocked that out of my memory.
I was literally, when I heard that music, it's the Mac Militant. I was so excited. And then what I could only hope was kayfabe, he butchered the segment. Just.
See, okay. So on the pre-show, they said a former SmackDown GM is backstage, and then they were like, oh, I think it's Teddy Long. And I was like, oh, well, I guess it's not Teddy Long, because why would you tell me?
Yeah.
But, and then he came out, and I was like, oh, Rich is going to be so hyped because he's about to make a tag match. And then he doesn't. And, like, I think the Fatal 4-Way Triple Threat 6-Pack Challenge was certainly kayfabe.
Yeah.
But the starting over and that kind of I don't know. I really don't know whether if it was that was really bad because people don't remember Teddy Long and they have no idea what that meant. So to them, he was just a bumbling idiot and he got no reaction. It was really just silence. Stephanie, I don't know if she came out early or just came out, but she had to come out and end that.
Like, I probably woke people up. Like I was jumping, like just like, yeah, Teddy Long dance and everything. I was so upset when he was falling for what's her name, the
Oksana,
and like it was clear she was gonna take advantage of him. Like I was like, no, Teddy, no.
So this will help you out a little bit. The next day, my kids are making like they had to do a project for this book they read. So some of them are making a book cover. So they were like, well, what do I have to do on the back? So we showed them a book cover, and like, you know, you got to put like, this book is great from the New York Times and blah, blah, blah. So the one kid is a wrestling kid. So I was like, you got to say, this book can't see me from John Cena and, you know, blah, blah, blah. So he's like, all right. So he like starts writing some stuff and he shows me and he puts one thing and then it's from Teddy Long. And I was just like, ah, that's great.
What?
Yep, you see him one day. you see the guy on Monday and that's it. He's in your report forever. Oh, like, amazing.
This book makes me think, holla, holla, holla.
Yeah, like it wasn't really anything Teddy Long, but then I was like, oh, this book is great, holla holla, and you just started dying laughing.
Oh, it was so sad. Yeah, I wanted it to be so much better. It's kind of like the when I don't know. I mean, I know he messed up a lot, but I feel like Flair also, you know, I'm glad he's off air now because it got to the point where, and I don't understand why it's gotten to this point. Unless he's just drunk every time he goes out there, that he just can't cut a regular Flair promo. You know, like he's can't do it
anymore. I just think he loses his train of thought so much.
Yeah, like he just goes off on tangents. It's exciting.
Yeah, like he just forgets where he's going and he keeps going and then, you know, he has no idea. Like I also watched the Team Credgley Table for Three.
Okay.
And that was pretty good because they're just legitimately boys. Like they were like, oh, we don't have to do the awkward banter because we see each other like twice a month or whatever.
But who are the three?
So Christian, Edge, and Mick Foley.
Oh.
So it was really good because they were just talking about all the fun they had and the Attitude Era and all that kind of stuff. So it was just a lot of old gimmicks. Like they talked about, they pulled out everything. And so it was really good. But like they were talking about one time when Christian just lost his train of thought and he was like, you know, I just started babbling and I had no idea what I was saying and I could see people. Like he said, you know how sometimes you look and you don't really see the people's faces. He's like, this time I saw every face and people were just like, what the hell is he saying? And he was like, oh my God, it just fucked me so bad. That's definitely what happens to Ric Flair all the time.
That's definitely happened to me while I was teaching, so I guess.
100%. 100%.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm like, I go off on the worst tangents. The worst like, tangents.
Wait, what was the point of this?
Like, I was watching DuckTales in sixth grade, and I was thinking, what were we talking about? Like, I don't even know.
How did I get to DuckTales?
Did we cover everything on Raw?
That I can really remember? Yeah, like, I don't – Rollins and Reigns, like, what did they even – I don't know. I don't even know if they did anything. I'm not even sure.
Oh, there were the video packages.
Yeah, that's all there was, though, right? Like, they weren't in person.
Yeah, I don't think they did anything in person, which I like. I mean, I don't think you need to –
I agree. I didn't, you know, every week. Exactly. If you're showing me every commercial break of video package, I definitely do not need to see them in three segments on Raw. So that was fine.
So then
but like, you know, that's kind of where we're getting wrestling building towards summer. And, you know, they have to do the brand split first. So we're kind of running in slow motion or running in place.
I feel like I'm getting to the point where with WWE that I just – all I want is the Cruiserweight Challenge – and the draft.
Yep.
And I want to watch them.
The Cruiserweights is what, like a month or a couple weeks?
I feel like they have to.
It's July.
I think so. They have to. I'm pretty sure they have to report to Orlando June 30th. I think I read that somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah, because Gargano yesterday said, like, oh, since we're in Orlando, I'll see you guys in 2 weeks or something like that.
So that makes sense. Yeah, I just wanted that, and then I want the draft. Like that's.
Yeah,
I mean NXT because, was
like, you know, we know it's coming, so we know we're building towards that, and you know, I'm ready to see it.
So I missed apparently the Triple H somehow talk on NXT. Like I saw the matches, but I didn't see like him say about why it's the end. Did you see this?
That was after on Facebook Live.
Oh, that's why I didn't see it. Okay. So what did he say exactly? Because I only caught bits and pieces of it.
I didn't. I never saw it. I remember reading him saying, like, it's the end of the beginning, and it's the beginning of, you know, the new face of NXT and that kind of stuff. Because most of the guys who were there when it started are moved on, and now it's a new generation of guys and that kind of a thing. And I think we saw that with the debut of the Authors of Pain and Andrade. So I think we're getting in that direction. He mentioned something about the women's division is about to get a shakeup and a big star is about to debut. So, you know, we're making our way to an overhaul of the NXT roster. Bobby Roode debuted. We got the Mighty Don't Kneel are there. So, you know.
Yeah, I mean, they I thought the main event was fantastic.
Yeah, really, really good. That I love the look of that cage. It's awesome. They used it on Ambrose and Jericho,
mm-hmm.
and now they used it on NXT. Just a lot shorter, just like, you know, more deadly looking. But I really enjoyed that. Really enjoyed the match. Good finish.
That muscle buster was sick.
Yeah, really, really good. And I like the way they sold it at the end. And see, at the end, they had me like, oh, wait a minute. Is this going to be like Finn's write-off? He's injured, and then he just shows up at the draft or something. But then apparently not, because the next night, they tried to make me spend a couple $100 and go to NXT, but it didn't work. And they showed a picture of Finn Balor and Samoa Joe, Finn Balor and Nakamura, excuse me, facing off and no sleep till Brooklyn. So it appears Finn Balor versus Nakamura will somewhat headline NXT Brooklyn. And my goodness. Woo-hoo.
I mean, how do I feel about not being there for that? You know, I'm going to say something that maybe is controversial. I'm not – Nakamura is very good. But right now, I'm not very interested in him. Like, I'm far more interested in Austin Aries.
Well, that's because you've been an Austin Aries fan for 7 years. But, like, Nakamura is, wow. Like, he's really freaking good.
And the way he moves weirds me out.
Super entertaining. I love it. It is so entertaining, man. His music is, whoo-hoo! Like, his music is dope, man. The crowd singing and shit is, ugh.
Look, I don't want him to win against Finn Balor.
Well.
Like, I didn't want him to win against, like, Sami Zayn. I guess.
Clearly, he's going
or
to.
Or Austin Aries. Oh, okay. So, it's like, I don't want him to win.
What do you?
I see what's happening. All the guys he wrestles are the guys I like, so I don't want him to. I don't want him to win. So I'm just like but I have no reason to hate him.
The best guys on NXT, so that he can step up the ladder and, you know, win the NXT title or whatever the case.
Yo, is Tommy ever coming back?
Just recovering slow, where he had some setbacks. I think Triple is that H. A racist segue? No, Triple H. I guess, but Triple H said, like, you know, not everyone is a mutant like John Cena. You know, he actually needs time to recover. So,
yeah, I hope John Cena is really. Yeah,
that was pretty funny.
I hope we find out John Cena is actually an alien. that would be.
He
so
is
cool.
Wolverine.
No, that would kill me. Like, no.
That would be the greatest if he was Wolverine, because your life would just explode. You just spent like thousands of dollars on all Wolverine comics, and it's just John Cena the whole time. Wolverine translates in Farsi to mean
John Cena.
Hustle around your respect.
I can't even handle that. I don't know what I would do.
I mean, it's bad enough your son was born on Rey Mysterio's birthday, so it would just be. Oh, it would be everything. Like, it would be the greatest moment of my life, I think, if John Cena was revealed as. What if he's cast as Wolverine in the next X-Men? Like,
I'm done watching.
The way that your face just dropped, I wish people could see, because it's the exact answer I needed.
I wouldn't be so upset. Like, I wouldn't be able to, like, don't ruin this for me, John Cena. Like, you know, like he ruined Royal Rumble 2008. You know, and
ruined it or made it one of the greatest memories of my life. Like, oh.
Like, I hear people talking about how, like, it was one of the biggest pops ever and everything. But
not from me.
No, I feel like our section was like, God fucking damn it!
The five of us who were there, like, I fell back in my seat and was just cursing. I got, oh, man, what a swerve that was, because it was supposed to be the big show. I had a sign that said, thank God Cena isn't here. And boom, there he was. I've never, and I don't think ever will, like, be that shocked. Okay, wow.
Yo, I'm sorry. I got an alert from WWN. Does Yeah have a belt?
Not with Evolve.
Oh, okay, so
they have the tag titles, and maybe he was holding the Evolve Championship, like, you know, because they are in possession of it.
Okay, all right, because I see, yeah, there's like a graphic with him holding a belt, and I was very confused.
Oh, so yeah, definitely not Evolve, but probably in one of the other promotions. That's on WWN.
Yep. Yeah, yeah, it's the they're talking about the show in Massachusetts and stuff. So maybe it's a title from up there or something like that.
Yeah, yeah, definitely Northeast, whatever. But yeah, I mean, the rest of NXT, as always, was just, you know, through the roof. You know, we touched on Nakamura, Aries a tiny bit. Nakamura, superstar. Aries, amazing. You know, really good stuff there. Tag team was phenomenal. Main event was really, really good. CN looked pretty good. When he first came out, I was like, wait a minute. Like, this is not going to work. What the hell is this? And then the next thing I knew, he had tights on. And I was like, okay, cool. You got it. But, you know, like, I think Triple H said it after. Like, yeah, I don't know about the hat with the feather on it, but everything else was good.
Yeah. So
hopefully he loses that.
I felt like, though, maybe it was just, like, because he was nervous. I don't know. Like, his forearm strikes. So like I felt like his basic, some of his basic wrestling moves, like just like, you know, regular transition punching and stuff like that, just I thought they looked weak, so it kind of took me out of the match a little bit. You know, like, okay. You know, like sometimes I feel like there are these guys who hit amazing moves, but then like you need a punch needs to look good. You know, like
I personally didn't notice that, but I'll take your word for it.
It was just like he was elbowing, like he was forearming him in the face to the corner, and it was supposed to be staggering him, and he was like barely, like not only barely making any contact, but then like you could see that there was nothing behind it, and he was making no contact. You know, like you,
I got you. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you know, it has to. I don't know. For me, like I love when a guy really hits that elbow. Yeah, yeah. You know, like that shit is
so
impactful.
Do you know anything about him, about CN?
No.
Okay, so he was – so, like, afterwards, I looked him up, and La Sombra, I don't know if you've heard that name.
Yeah, I've heard – yeah, I heard of him.
Yeah, so that's who he was in Mexico. And, like, started wrestling when he was 14, was in CMLL when he was 16, and people hated him because he was Roman Reigns. He was the company creation.
Oh.
And they, like, booed the hell out of him. And after like a year or 6 months or something, they finally realized like, okay, this isn't working. So they put him and two other guys who were getting that same type of reaction in a group, which may sound familiar, called Los Ingobernables.
Oh.
Which is Naito. Yeah. Right? Him and Naito are boys. And Naito basically was like, yo, you mind if I use all your shit? And, you know, that's why he's Los Ingobernables de Japón. And they got over huge as these like tweeners, you know, don't care about the baby faces, don't care about the heels, do what they want, and got over huge, became big stars, and then here we are. So just some cool background into the Los Ingobernables and all that kind of stuff, because that gives me high hopes for him in WWE.
I mean, he's – All right, so I didn't know he had such like a good background.
Mm-hmm. Like when the kid in my class, he was like, "Oh, did you see CN?" And I was like, "Yeah, yeah." He was like, "Yo, I saw him at La Boom, like when he was like nothing." And I was like, "Really? Like, yo, that's freaking cool for you, like that you saw this guy in La Boom, and now boom, here he is. No pun intended. Here he is on NXT. Like that's awesome." He was mad hyped. So, you know, just goes to show.
That's crazy.
Yep.
What else was – was there anything else? Did I miss anything?
Naya and Asuka, I mean, good match. Glad Asuka kept it. You know, it's too early for her to lose it.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll see what this new debuting woman does. You know, hopefully Bayley has moved on soon. I'm sure with the draft she'll be up. But, you know, just – she needs to move on. There's nothing else.
Yeah, no.
For her to accomplish there.
She can't win the title back, and it's just...
No, maybe she gets her rematch and she loses. Maybe that's what they do in Brooklyn. Maybe that's her last match. But that better be the end.
Yeah, I mean, she's going to get it. Yeah, yeah, right, because they were like... She even like wished her luck before the match, backstage.
And maybe that's why she's fake injured. Because I don't think she's really injured, but maybe that's why she wasn't wrestling this one. So that they could just be like, okay, we got to save that rematch for Brooklyn, and then, you know, we'll move you up.
That makes sense.
Yep.
All right, was there anything else this week? I'm trying to think. That was a lot.
No, I've been slacking on Lucha Underground and all that, so I got to catch back up. I guess Ring of Honor. Couple weeks left to work, and then we'll catch back up. Watching a lot of Ring of Honor, so you can share with the world what you learned this past week about actually watching it.
Well, first, yeah, so I guess cheap plug, go to pwponderings.com and you can see tons of the Ring of Honor work I've been doing lately. Wow. So if you are not just a free rings, like the general, they have like the ringside subscribers, whatever. Mm-hmm. There's like two levels. I originally had just the free level, which just kind of gives you access to some stuff around the site. But then right lately through PW Ponderings. I've actually had gotten some access to see some more of their library. Man, if you actually watch their VOD and you're watching all of their shows, like more than just watching the TV product that airs on Comet and then watching the pay-per-view,
mm-hmm.
everything works so much better. The commentary, and it's funny because listening to them over the last week and different shows, they do stuff during the match that hypes up
the,
whoever's there. I mean, like, I was watching a match with Dalton Castle and Kongo. I have no idea who this Kongo guy is. He's like this kind of heavier guy, this face paint. He's kind of like a Samoan type, you know, animal. And they were really hyping him up. Like, this guy is a beast. And they make me care more about somebody who I don't care about.
Yeah, somebody who you don't know.
You know, they provide – they had a match between Dijak and Joey Diesel, the guy who's still in House of Truth. And, you know, they keep talking about how they were partners and how they traveled together. You know, everything they do, they'll slip out Kevin Kelly and, like, brought in Matt Taven during one match to, because it was I'm sorry, that was Jay Lethal versus Vinny Marsaglia or something like that. He was, like, a local hometown hero. And it was with this match they had, like, the hometown underdog, like, vies for the championship.
So you
have Taven come in, who's from the area, to talk about how he knows about this guy, it could be completely kayfabe. There, you know, maybe he has no idea who he is. But then, you know, you're bringing Taven into it.
But it makes you think it, yeah.
Yeah, you know, that and you're reminding everyone about Taven. Like, a lot of what they're doing is great. And then you have – now, this weekend, Adam Cole just was hospitalized with pneumonia.
Yeah.
So he got pulled from the show. He was supposed to wrestle Sabin last night, and tonight, yeah. you guys will hear tonight, he's supposed to wrestle Colt Cabana, which would have been just a really good match, and they probably would have had it on VOD. So now he's got to get replaced. You know, but they have this whole NWO thing going with the Bullet Club, where, like, at the end of the Bullet Club keeps attacking Jay Lethal also. And Jay Lethal's supposed to wrestle Briscoe at Best in the World, but the Bullet Club keeps running in. The Briscoes come out and, like, save Lethal at the end of the show. And, you know, Jay Briscoe picks up the title belt, you know, and, you know, Lethal, of course, like, what are you doing with my title? You know, and just gets in his face. And they have that great, you know, the show ends as, like, you know, Lethal's taking his title back. So, but that's also because the television product has been better. It's been more consistent. It's not just best of shows. It's actually, like,
yeah, it's actually building.
You know, it's from the Toronto tapings, but then they did such a great job of having, like, Silas Young do a backstage thing where he's like, my son was coloring his coloring book, and he was coloring ACH, and I told him, you know, that ACH is not a real man and he shouldn't color that. And then he closed the book and gave it to his dad. You know, he's like, and it proves that my son's more of a man than you are. And then later you have ACH going, I don't know why you're doing this, but if you're attacking me from behind, you know, who's the real man here? And it's just 3 minutes. 3 minutes, yeah. That makes me care more. I've never cared about ACH more than I have right now. And I'm not sure if that's because I just haven't been paying attention or because this is actually making me care about it, you know?
Because you care about Silas and
– Well, I care about – I care about All Night Express doing Make Wrestling Great Again, you know, and, like, somebody's intelligently, you know – I mean, I'm not sure who started it first, if it was Make Darren Young Great. I think All Night Express was doing it first. But they're in suits backstage being jerks talking. And this week they were – they were bad mouthing Liger, and I forgot who else, who they're going to be facing next week's episode. So this continuity, like, oh my goodness, like,
it's new to this ROH.
You know, you're telling me about a match that I'm going to watch next week, and you're hyping it, like, by having the guys talk about it.
So what we always knew has been proven true is you got to watch the live events in order to really keep
it's
up.
The only
you know,
way,
the TV is just kind of there. As a boost, you know, or some extra matches or some best of highlights and best of matches from this show and all that kind of thing.
So we'll see what happens. I mean, a lot of the difficulty also was getting through you know, in January, I wrote about how I thought this partnership with the Ring of Honor, with New Japan was going to be so great for Ring of Honor. And then I actually felt that over the last couple months, having all that talent and doing the World of the Worlds tour, they were just focusing too much on New Japan.
Yeah.
I understand why, but...
Yeah, and we've said before, if you're going to bring in all of these New Japan guys, like, what's the point if they're just going to keep beating all of your good homegrown Ring of Honor guys?
What they need to do, I think, and if they do it in the future, and they're going to do it in the future, if you're going to bring in New Japan guys, put most of that stuff on your VOD. And then do your tapings
better. Yeah, but then they don't reach the broad audience. They reach more people on TV.
The people who are watching on Comment at 12 o'clock want to see Ring of Honor people. They're not watching see Okada beat somebody on Ring of Honor. That's not what they're tuning in for at 12 o'clock at night to watch Comment. Come on.
They don't. I'm sure they're not watching it live, but I get your point.
You can't even tape it. I mean, for me, I'd have to watch it online because nobody gets Comment or any other channel that Ring of Honor is on. Although, Buffalo, Syracuse, if you go to their listings, New York City is oddly missing from their broadcast networks. Like, if you live in Syracuse, you can watch Ring of Honor on TV, but if you live in New York, sorry.
They just bought the tennis channel, so hopefully they start putting it on there. Because I at least get the tennis channel, so.
Game, set, match. My apologies. That was terrible. All right.
It does work for both of them, though.
Do we have... I'm trying to think. There's no trivia this week.
No, I have to... we actually have to get going. I have to watch Northern Ireland and Poland.
I'm actually...
That was a joke.
I've been watching this stuff, but...
I absolutely have, and I will not watch Northern Ireland, Poland, but that was just a little rib.
I put on USA last night, Stat Baby, just let's go Rebels. I'm like, yes. Jeez. You don't even know what's going on, but I love it. All right, well, that's ladies ridiculous. And gentlemen, that is our show for this week. Take a second, just go over and leave a comment and review us on iTunes. All right, you can find us on again on Twitter at Running Wild LWOS. You can email us at runningwildpodcast@gmail.com. We are brought to you in partnership with LastWordOnSports.com and PWPonderings.com, and we're also you can find us on the Wrestling to the Max Network. And now that my co-host is going to kill me, that is so much shorter than it used to be. Like I can quickly like micro machine through it. I forgot to say follow me on Twitter at Rich_Laconi. That's LACONI. And that's the last thing I'll tell you before I remind you guys that you have been listening to the podcast that is just too sweet.